read this from the New King James Version, and you can follow along there or follow along in your Psalters. Psalm 7, this is God's Word. A meditation of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjaminite. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregations of the peoples shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked bring forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. The beginning of a new year is a good time for me to remind you the purpose behind the psalm meditations. I'll just give you a friendly reminder that this is not a mini sermon. Instead, I have in mind explaining some things to give you explanation of things that might be hard to understand or that may be unknown to you. And the second purpose is to connect the psalms to Jesus Christ. And so in this psalm, I want to make one explanation only, and that is about what we call imprecation, or this prayer of God's curse against his enemies. Because that's what it is. David is asking the Lord to arise and to bring his judgment against the wicked. It's a prayer that sometimes makes us squirm a little bit. It sometimes makes us uncomfortable. In fact, it makes a number of people uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that they say that these psalms have no place in the expression of the Christian life. And they would even try to trim them out of God's Word. But it is interesting that God gave himself these words to the sweet psalmist of David. He gave them so that David could sing them, and so that the people of God as a corporate worship could sing them. And not just in David's day, but throughout all ages that we might take up these words. And so it presses upon us the question about praying and singing the psalms that ask God to curse his enemies. In this context, it's helpful for us to understand the history. And David gives us a little hint here. The introduction to the psalm says that David wrote this as a prayer against a man named Cush. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. To set this in the historical setting, you might remember that the king of Israel, King Saul, was also from the tribe of Benjamin. That means that Cush was a relative of Benjamin. So you might imagine how Cush would use false accusations to try to belittle David. David, by God's grace, was rising in the eyes of the nation and was even rising in the appreciation of Saul. Saul brought him along into the royal household and promoted him to be a captain over the king's armies. It seems that there must have been jealousy, or we don't know the exact accusations that are made, but they are indeed false accusations. And David says, O God, defend me from these. I am righteous in this. He doesn't claim to be perfectly righteous, but this particular application he dismisses. He has not done this. In fact, he says, if I have, O Lord, then do judge me. I deserve that judgment. But at the heart of it, David responds by asking God to arise, to cause the enemy to fall into his own traps. He's dug a pit. O God, make him fall into the pit that he has dug himself. He asks that God would be a just judge. And he proclaims that God is angry with the wicked every day. And it's that phrase especially that makes us squirm a little bit. Sometimes our modern sensibilities try to dismiss the wrath of God against sin. But we cannot and must not do that, for God is holy. And it's appropriate for God to judge the wicked. Because of that, it's appropriate for us to thank God that He does. We let God be God as we pray and sing these psalms. Then, if it's right to sing these, the next question that I'll answer is, how shall we sing these? As I was reading and praying about this, it was called to my attention about the words by the Puritan William Ames. And he gave 3 points about how to sing and to pray the Psalms of Imprecation. Number one, he says, we may meditate with fear and trembling on the terrible judgments of God against the sins of impenitent persons. In other words, the imprecatory Psalms bring to us an appreciation for and a right understanding of God's wrath against sin. We need that because we ourselves are sinners. And here's where Jesus comes in this psalm. We ourselves are sinners too. And the wrath of God that all sinners deserve press us to see that Jesus took that for us. So as you sing this psalm, think of the mercy of God that has satisfied that wrath that you deserve. Sing the psalm personally by thanking God that the wrath that you deserve has been turned on Jesus Christ. Secondly, we may profit in patience and consolation against the temptations which are wont to habitually arise from the prosperity of the wicked and the affliction of the godly. It's common in this life, in other words, for us to recognize around us that it seems like the wicked are getting away with their wickedness, and that the righteous are suffering. The Psalms of Imprecation teach us to be patient, to let God be God. He knows what is happening in the world, and we can rest in that. He will not leave the guilty unpunished. Third and finally, we may also pray to God that He would hasten the revenge. That He would hasten the revenge, not against our private enemies, but against the wicked and incurable enemies of His church. In other words, a note of caution here is in order. We don't take these psalms up against petty disagreements and those who are personal enemies or personal offenders. Instead, it helps us to remember there is a cosmic history and flow of that history of redemption. And there are those that are of the seed of the serpent and those who are of the seed of the woman. And we pray against those who have aligned themselves against God and against His Christ. We take this psalm up as part of our allegiance to Christ. And at the same time, we can fulfill what Jesus says in the New Testament, to pray for those who persecute you, while at the same time humbly crying out to the Lord that He would be the judge of all the earth and leave vengeance in God's hands. So throughout this month as we sing this, I pray that you would remember Christ who has been merciful, that you would remember that the Lord will judge in good time, that we would leave vengeance in His hands. Let's do that. Let's take up our Psalters and turn to Psalm 7. We'll sing Selection A today, and this afternoon we'll sing Selection B. Psalm 7A, please stand to praise God.